compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Wow. I hope you had a great long weekend. I certainly did. I feel tanned, rested, and ready. And I'm happy to be here with you. My number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We can have a conversation. Give me a call. We have lines open right now. Hello, Cyrus. Hello, Jim.
Hey, top of the morning.
Hello, Sarah.
Happy,
everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah. You want to make sure I don't say good morning. Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Let me hear that.
Or,
I haven't heard that in a while.
Monday morning.
Do you have that handy?
I just might, but not Let's as fast see. As you want it.
All right.
Yeah. So you're
Which
gonna...
is typical. That's okay.
Right.
Have a taco.
I have a reputation to uphold here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, since I don't hear it, I'll just proceed with the show. This was funny. I thought this was funny. A lot of people thought it was anti-Semitic. Well, I'll just... There was a plane, this is in Florida, and it had a banner behind it up in the sky. You've seen those before. Like, listen to the Patrick Madrid Show. You've seen those planes with the banners. And this one said, Jew, spelled J-E-W, Jew, I have a question. Now, that's all it said. So, Cyrus, if you were in your backyard and you saw a plane fly overhead that had the banner reading, Jew, I have a question, what would your natural reaction be?
Something like that.
You'd say, what?
Uh-oh.
What does that mean?
Uh-oh. Okay. This is not good.
A lot of people thought it was anti-Semitic. And there's a group online, Stop Anti-Semitism. And by the way, just it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I am completely against anti-Semitism. I think everybody should be. We've learned lessons the hard way in that regard. So without putting any too fine a point on it, obviously anti-Semitism, not good. But a lot of people thought that's what that was because it said, Jew, I have a question. And that group, Stop Anti-Semitism, got more than 100 shares online. Another group called United with Israel, they shared the photo, and their caption was, Anti-Semitism, is alive and well. Except it wasn't, because it was a marriage proposal from a guy to a woman whose name we don't know, but her nickname is Jew. That's her nickname. That's the actual nickname. And it wasn't meant to be hate speech. It wasn't meant to be a joke. It was a marriage proposal. Her nickname is Jew. We don't know what it's short for. It could be Julia, could be Jewel, could be Judith. They don't know because it wasn't reported. According to Glenna Milberg, a local South Florida television reporter, the banner was created and flown by Ariel Banners, whose Instagram page shows examples of similar marriage proposals, though others tend to say, will you marry me? That probably would have cleared up the confusion. Milberg reported that Milo Skral Jr., S-K-R-A-L, a representative of Ariel Banner, said he didn't realize the banner could be read as offensive until he got a call from the local branch of the Anti-Defamation League. This, by the way, being reported in the Jerusalem Post. I was like, wait, what? What are you talking about? He said, according to News 10. And then after sitting back and thinking about it and reading a few things and having things explained to us, it was like, oh. Of course, the real story of the banner prompted another question. Did Jew say yes? According to Milberg, she did. You know who went through something similar, Cyrus? This is a little musical education for you. Paul McCartney and the Beatles, when the song Hey Jude was first released, there was concern that that was possibly anti-Semitic. Of course, it wasn't. It was written about Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son. But there was concern that maybe it was like maybe hearkening back to the days of the ratcheting up against Jews in Germany, where they would write things on the windows of Jewish shops in the neighborhood, like Juden, German for Jew. And that would be a sign that, you know, this business was owned by Jews. And so it was a threat. It was a menace. And so, Hey Jude, originally had some reaction like that until it was explained that this had nothing to do, just after a kid.
Could you imagine having something you said taken the wrong way and you get in trouble for it?
That would never happen. That anyone...
That doesn't happen.
Who would take something out of context? And I mean, let's just go crazy. Who would take something I say out of context and then maybe sit down and write a really angry email rebuking me for basically because that person didn't understand it? That would never happen.
Come on, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, by the way, I've sounded off on this issue of not drafting women. I don't want to see women drafted, and they're going to be drafted. We've talked about it a time or two on the show in the last year. The Pentagon, this is according to the Free Beacon, the Pentagon will start to have will have to start drafting women in order to receive funding after House Democrats amended the defense budget. Representative Chrissy Houlihan, Democrat of Pennsylvania, put forward a measure on Wednesday to require all women over the age of 18 to register for Selective Service. She said her policy would best draw out the talents of our entire nation. Only 1 in 3 women, however, support adding women to the draft, according to an Ipsos poll. Vicki Hatzler, Republican from Missouri, she's a House Armed Services Committee member. She lampooned the prospect that millions of America's daughters could be put needlessly in the line of fire, saying, "I feel confident that in an emergency that the women of this country would step up and volunteer as needed. It seems like this is a solution in search of a problem." Exactly. I feel exactly that way. It's a solution in search of a problem. She said, "We don't need to draft women in order for women to have equality in this nation." Now, I'm not suggesting that women should not, if they wish to be in the military, let them be in the military. Let them do whatever jobs they wish to do. But drafting women, I've already gone down that road. I don't need to explain it all over again, but this is now tucked into this defense bill. Female participation in the military has steadily increased since 2004, rising to 17% in 2018. A larger percentage of women in military service are commissioned as officers, and this is a larger percentage of women than that of men. Critics say conscription could focus on fielding the most effective fighting force rather than gender ideology. Terry Schilling, the president of the American Principles Project, which led a campaign against the measure, told the Washington Free Beacon. He said this decision could have a crippling effect on lawmakers who passed the bill. He said, "I think I'm speaking on behalf of millions of fathers across the country when I say I don't want my daughters drafted into the next military conflict." He said to conscript them into the military and put them on the front lines is a nightmare. I completely agree with him. Houlihan's measure passed 35-24. Five Republicans crossed party lines to support it. A similar measure passed the Senate by a razor-thin margin over the objections of national security hawks. Former Army Rangers Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Republican of Arkansas, and Air Force veteran Senator Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, jousted with Democrats over its inclusion into the annual spending bill. Cotton says, "Our military has welcomed women for decades and are stronger for it. But America's daughters shouldn't be drafted against their will. I opposed this amendment in committee, and I will work to remove it before the defense bill passes." Wicker said, "I support our military's efforts to offer more opportunities for women who want to volunteer to serve. But when I think of my own daughters and granddaughters, I could not in good conscience support an amendment that would compel their military service." So keep an eye on that. Looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to happen. So, Cyrus, your daughters are vulnerable to this. I think all of my daughters are now old enough that they would be beyond the draft age. My youngest daughter is 23, and I don't know if they go up that high when it comes to the draft. So I think if this happens, it will miss my kids, but it'll affect your kids, and I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I think it's scary.
Can you imagine your daughter getting drafted?
No.
And being sent to the burning sands of Iran or some other place where we're going to have the next war?
I sure cannot. I don't know what I'll do about it. But
say, hey, like honey, that. There's some really nice places to go see in Canada.
I know.
I was against draft dodgers mm-hmm. during the Vietnam War. I was too young to go to Vietnam. I missed the draft by 5 years.
I ain't no governor's son.
Where have I heard that before? Yeah. So anyway, so that's happening. You're posting these links, right? Sorry,
I am.
So,
yep, I just posted it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other little tidbit.
Let us know if you see this on Twitter. Let us know. What do you think about your daughters being drafted?
You want to do a poll?
Oh, sure, we could do that.
Yeah, let's do a poll.
All right.
So let's word it. Patrick just read, or no, that doesn't need to be in the poll. Just say, do you agree with the Democrats who have voted to draft women? Yes or no? I'm not sure. Maybe we should have a third option. I'm not sure. Or just not sure. Right, give I'll it a whirl, Cyrus. Yeah,
I'll get that up in the next minute or two.
Sounds good. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Trish in Illinois. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Patrick. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
And I trust in you're welcome. I trust in your advice, your sound, solid advice. Now, I have an issue here. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she needs a recovery organization. I'm hoping you can give me a direction, a lead. She just got out of a cult with the clothes on her back and only the shoes on her feet.
Wow.
She had a job. She left her apartment and went out to this cult out in another a part of this country. And she's out. Her body is out, but she's brainwashed. She's been physically abused. And I told her, follow Jesus, who will not abuse you. Read your Bible that will wash your brain with the word of God. I told her she needs to recant all the erroneous beliefs that led her to this cult. She is out. She has no job, no clothes, no shoes. And my other daughter paid for her way to fly her out of where she was. Now, do you know of any place that would help her to recover her mind? An ex-cult.
I'm blanking on a group that specializes in that is Catholic. Although, you might touch base with the good people at Catholic Answers. Their website is catholic.com. Because over the years, and full disclosure, I worked at Catholic Answers for 8 years long ago. It's been a long time, but they may well have some resources for organizations that I'm just unaware of who can help her with this. Is there any substance abuse issue as part of this?
No, they didn't do any kind of drugs. They were healthy, down to the earth, walking with no shoes to keep in touch with the earth, hair shooting up to the sky to keep in touch with the universe. Just no, nothing like that. I didn't get what you said. The Catholic, what you said, the contact,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, so the name of the organization is Catholic Answers, and their website, yeah, their website is catholic.com. Easy to remember. And they're in San Diego, so they're not open yet, but they will be open in another couple, two, 3 hours. And you could give them a call and just say, hey, you know, Patrick Madrid mentioned that you might have some resources or referral organizations that you can, you know, that you could be in touch with. And the reason I ask about the substance abuse, because there is an organization that can help with that, but this is not that. What are her beliefs that she's come away from this group with?
She was raised as a Christian, Protestant. She rejects the Bible. She has her own understanding about being in touch with the universe. Idiocracy. Okay. I'm praying that the Lord will let her see that your beliefs led you to grave error.
Right.
You need to turn your mind to the Word of God. So that's the ultimate help. That's the ultimate help. But she has no clothes, no shoes. She left her job. She left her apartment and just went over to this group. She was in L.A. and she was despised. She lived there for 10 years and she saw the degradation of what's going on around her. People defecating in the street, tents. She was running from that. She's alone. She has no children. She's never been married. She didn't have a boyfriend. She just kept to herself. Okay, so now this man out here says, you can come here and get away from all that. We have a clean life here. And they do, but it's not correct.
Yeah.
You're going to follow after some man. The man you need to follow is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he won't leave you naked and with no shoes.
Is she living with you? I must have missed that part of it. Is she on her own now? Is she living with you? Obviously, she's out of that group. Is she someplace safe?
I have 6 children, and one of my daughters was able to pay her airfare flight. out of there, out to California. She's in L.A. now. So when you said San Diego, she's already out in L.A.
Okay. Well, then here's my suggestion. Sounds like it's a dicey situation. As long as she's got a place to live where she's safe and she's not, you know, at risk from this group coming back to her, I would say if you can get in touch with Catholic Answers, they may well have somebody on staff who can give her this kind of biblical counseling that she needs, you know, to deprogram her of these ideas.
She needs to forsake the ideas that took her over there until she admits her thinking was gravely erroneous. She has to repent of those ideas that led her there, or she'll just be duped for some other group.
Yeah.
And that's what it, please, audience, pray her mind be open to the word of God.
We certainly will.
Okay,
we certainly will, Trish.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So give that a try. Catholic Answers website is catholic.com. Let them know that I recommended this for the reason that they very well may have people on staff who could sit down with her, whether by phone or in person, but she's close enough that it wouldn't be difficult to make that happen. I think they'll be very receptive to helping you, Trish. And call me back down the road and let me know how this ends up. We will certainly be praying for your daughter. Thank you. 888-914-9149. We'll go now to George in Traverse City, Michigan. Hi, George.
Hey, Patrick. Thank you for your beautiful work serving our Lord in this church. And I thank Cyrus, too, for all his wonderful work.
Thank you. Thank the man, Cyrus.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. The reason I called in is I was calling to comment about Patrick's, about your statement about the Democrats wanting to or voting to draft women into the military. I have four daughters. My youngest is one and my oldest is six. And I would be horrified if they were forced into combat military action. I mean, it's one thing if they want to join the military on their own, they're older and they feel God's calling them to that vocation. But I most certainly do not think that is a good idea at all to force women into that kind of role. I just don't think that's what God has in store for them.
So, George, let's say that your children, your daughters were not as young as they are now. Let's fast forward and say that your daughters were, let's say, 18, 20, 21 years old. And let's say that this passes, which it looks like it will, as part of this defense budget bill. And suddenly now 18-year-old girls are eligible for the draft, as are 18-year-old boys. And let's say there's a draft. And let's say that your daughters are at risk of being drafted into the military against their will. What do you as the dad do in that case?
Well, I would pray real hard for starters and try to get some support, hopefully from maybe Republican, some political help if I could, to try and fight that, because I just think that is an absolutely horrible idea to throw young women into the battlefield where they could easily be very poorly treated. I'm talking if they were taken prisoner, could
then
be
that's
molested. God,
that's a very delicate way
to
put it. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, George. It's a question that, I mean, it was unthinkable not that long ago, but with the insanity on the left and the insanity of, you know, all the ideologies that are running amok, this ties into some of that, if you ask me. And this is previously an unthinkable issue, and now it's very thinkable. And it may well be that you as dad and all the other dads out there who have daughters of that draftable age are going to have to really be worrying about this if it comes to pass. And I hope it doesn't. But every time I look over at that story, I see that it's percolating, and now it's part of the defense budget bill. In other words, what they're saying is the military won't get its budget if you don't draft women. And we don't have a draft. We haven't had a draft since 1973. George, thank you. I appreciate your phone call. I wish your daughters all success in avoiding the draft when they get older. We haven't had a draft since 1973. We haven't needed a draft since 1973. I'm not convinced we needed it then either. But in any case, all this talk about draft and drafting is makes me wonder, is there something else being planned in the background, you know, that, you know, if it's not a problem, why are we even talking about it? Unless people have ulterior motives and are planning to reinstate the draft, I sure hope not. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you informed. Everything I can find out about this, I will report back to you. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and I will be right back. The programming you hear throughout the day on the Relevant Radio Network is sponsored in part by Christendom College. More info at getprinciples.com. We thank them for supporting Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
All right. We are back. This is Taco Tuesday, by the way. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, I have a serious question for you.
Okay. I love it when you have these serious questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Serious question. If the city of San Francisco told you they would pay you $300 a month to not shoot somebody, anybody, would you sign up for that program?
Yeah. Yeah. Can I get some back pay for all the times I haven't shot anybody?
See, I like how you think, but haha, joke's on you. You don't qualify. You know why?
Because I haven't shot somebody.
Well, because you're not a violent criminal who has gone to jail.
Wait.
This is only for ex-criminals.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that's not fair.
Check it out. A new San Francisco initiative will be paying $300 per month to ex-criminals to become, I love this, public safety ambassadors, in hopes to decrease gun violence and crime in the city. It's called the Dreamkeeper Fellowship, where participants of the program will have to first pass an interview, then will be provided with live coaches from the city's street violence intervention program. I mean, in theory, this is good. We'll see how it works. The San Francisco Police Department reported a rise in burglary, theft, and assault due to the pandemic, with over a combined 29,889 reported crimes being reported since the beginning of the year alone. So the city of San Francisco is snapping into action and providing $300 a month for these ex-criminals to not shoot somebody. Now, what do you do if it's the middle of the night and you wake up because there's someone breaking into your house and you say, wait a minute, are you a public safety ambassador? Yes.
That's what they say as they're breaking
it just so happens that I am.
Don't worry. I'm a public safety ambassador. Just give me
stuff. Maybe he'll get a lapel pin that says that. So anyway, that's it. That's the whole story.
Wow.
$300 a month to not shoot somebody.
Crazy times, man.
Could you imagine if they just rolled that out to everybody? Supplemental pay?
That'd get me out of a couple of jams.
Okay, that's it. That's the whole story. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Tom in Madison, Wisconsin. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I was in the Marines in the 1990s, and my point of view with women going into the draft or going into the military is that there are literally some people who sign up and they're like, I'll do any job at all. And so then my other point is that only a very small part of the military is actually in combat. So that'd be like you and Cyrus being the actual combat people and everybody else in your office being support. So for women getting drafted, or anybody getting drafted, you only go into the jobs that you're qualified for. So that'd be like dental hygienist or, you know, like a helicopter pilot or whatever. And so the people that aren't qualified for combat would never go in there in the first place. So like, as we hear like on the news about the ladies who are passing ranger training and SEAL training, it's a very, very small amount. So they would never go into combat in the first place.
I don't doubt that. I remember the Vietnam War and how during that draft, the guys that were drafted, they typically were sent to the infantry. You know, they were the ones who did, I guess, what you did, because aren't Marines trained first and foremost to be infantry and then everything else is second to that? Or do I misunderstand it?
Well, no, that's true. But it's any office or any business. There's so much support that goes behind it.
Right.
Like everywhere from janitorial to management to the medical, the dental, the chaplain corps, everybody, even doctors.
No, I understand
as far
that.
As people,
I understand that. So, in other words, if maybe to put it in percentages or ratio, if I don't know, 20% of the force is out there fighting, 80% is in the background supporting them in these other ways that doesn't involve fighting. Is that the point you're making?
So they could be drafted for those roles. Yes, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for
well,
the people who volunteer to say I'll do anything, and then ordinarily they'd be put in the kitchens. Well, then maybe those kitchen people who were men get put out into the field, so to speak, and other people get put into the kitchens. And I had nothing. I didn't intend to say anything about like women in kitchen roles. Just
I know you didn't. Mind. But, like, I know what you mean. Because that'll get you in all kinds of trouble. Well, I'm still opposed to women being drafted on principle. I'm opposed to it. And whether or not they get put into a dental hygienist job or something else, I'm still opposed to it. And we have more than enough men to take care of a draft, and I don't see the need for us to draft women. Now, this goes against, it cuts against the grain of the gender ideology people and those who are, you know, insisting that there is no difference between men and women, which is not true, but their radical view on this issue is that if men can be drafted, women can be drafted. And I guess you obviously know far more about the military than I do, Tom, because you were a Marine and I've never been in the military. But my thinking, my assumption, I guess, is that, you know, when there's fighting to be done and it's all hands on deck, there will be women, because now combat roles are open to women. There will be women who maybe don't want to be out there fighting, and they will be fighting. And that's something I would never want to see.
I don't think that it works like that.
Okay.
From my experience.
Educate me, because I'd like to know.
Like, they go through any kind of training, and so if they're like the warehouse person or if they're the refrigerator mechanic, like, if they're not doing their job, then part of the component is falling apart. So there'll never, ever be a time where every single person, here's a gun, it goes in your hands, and away you go. It is never, ever going to happen.
It's happened before.
I think that maybe happened in, like, World War II. It's not going to happen in any 21st century war.
What about, I just want to play devil's advocate here. What about in places like Afghanistan? And I guess for that matter, Iraq, when you had men and women being killed by attacks on their base. So she's a dental hygienist. She's not out there with a gun shooting at anybody. But when the compound or the base is attacked and she dies because she's there as a dental hygienist, that stuff happens. We saw that in the news all the time coming out of Iraq, for example, and I guess to some extent in Afghanistan.
Yes.
I mean, those things do happen,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it does. Yes.
So I don't want my daughter to be in that situation. If she wants to be there, if my daughter says, Dad, I really want to go serve, I would say, I'm proud of you, honey. I don't want you to get hurt, but I'm proud of you. And if that's what you want, then I support you. But I don't want Uncle Sam to say, guess what? You're going whether you want to or not. That's what I'm opposed to.
Well, so I'm a parent like you. And so I know that my parents were worried when I went in, but I don't think that my parents would be any more concerned or any less concerned for a son versus a daughter going in. Like, nobody wants to lose their child.
I understand. I would be more concerned for my daughter if she were captured by the Taliban or by the by ISIS or whoever the next foe is. I would definitely be more concerned. I mean, I would be out of my mind with concern. Don't get me wrong. I would, if it were one of my sons, I would be beside myself. Absolutely. But I would be even more beside myself if it were my daughter who was captured, because she's a woman.
And for good reason. For good reason. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up an alternate point of view.
I'm glad you did.
Lastly, to say, I'm saying the rosary every day because of the radio channel. So,
beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it very much. And do call again. I appreciate your perspective on this. 888-914-9149. We'll go now to Kip in Easton, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Kip.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm having an online conversation back and forth with a Christian minister who believes that abortion is Bit of a lie.
You know, your phone is acting up, Kip. I'm only getting every other word. I apologize. Can you just repeat that? The last I heard was a Christian minister, and then it kind of dropped out.
Yes, I'm having an online conversation with a Christian minister who believes that abortion is biblically acceptable.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the arguments I brought up with him is, I said, when it's a...
This is really an important topic, but I can't hear you. Jim, pick up with Kip, please, and see if we can get his phone situation clarified, because I want to hear the question. I just can't hear it. So, Kip, please stand by, and Jim's going to pick up with you and get your phone situation sorted out. I'll come back to you. Let's go to Dave now in Poinette, Wisconsin. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to go back to the draft thing for a minute. I remember I grew up during the Vietnam War draft, and there was a thing called conscientious objector. And I'm not sure what the qualifications were for that, but that might be a pathway if that could be made politically easier for women to get.
Right.
Conscientious objector.
Yeah, I remember that very well. And I remember, and I don't know if you and I are the same age, but I mean, I was a teenager during the Vietnam War. And I remember...
I'm 6 years older than you are.
Okay. Well, so we do kind of remember the same era, though, but...
Right.
Am I wrong? My my recollection, at least I suppose in the circles that my parents moved in, was that people who had a conscientious objection and went through the system that way were fine. But like draft dodgers, people who went up to Canada, guys that went up to Canada or elsewhere, they were kind of looked down on. And I mean... In those days, I guess I shared that view that I looked down on a draft dodger as being a weakling or a coward. And now here I am with the prospect of women being drafted. And I got to tell you, I mean, my first instinct would be to say, be a draft dodger. You know, go to Canada or get a deferment or do something that would help exempt the woman from doing that. And I realize it's 180 degrees opposite of what I used to think on this issue.
Yeah, I agree. People were kind of looked down on it. To my recollection, even people that got conscientious objector were kind of maybe looked at as being kind of weaklings or something. But I don't think that stigma would be there for women, not as much as it would be for men.
I agree. I hope it wouldn't.
So that may be one political way to fight this, you know.
Yeah, so the conscientious objector status... I don't know that that exempted you from the, did that exempt you from the draft as a man in the 70s or even in the late 60s? Or how did that work? Because I don't remember. If you were a conscientious objector and you registered that way with the government, could you still be drafted or would they exempt you for that?
I never knew it well enough to know what the details were. I just remember hearing that that was a way to get out of it. And that maybe you did go into the military and do non-combat things, but my thought at the time was that you got excused from the draft.
Yeah, I'll have to do some homework because I really don't remember. The draft has not been big on my radar screen forever, and so now that it's popping up again, I'm trying to recollect what it was like back in the 70s. So now you would have been just barely old enough to be drafted, Dave, if you're 6 years older than me, because I missed it by 5 years. The draft ended in 73, and I turned 18 in 78. So I missed it, but you were prime time, right?
Yeah, I graduated in 1972, so I had a couple of years that I was eligible. But, you know, luckily, for one thing, the war was winding down. For another thing, my number didn't come up, so I missed that one.
Got it. Yeah, and you guys, you know, who are older than me, who went off, and it was strange time in those days. Well, Dave, thank you. I appreciate that. Conscientious objector status. We will keep an eye on that as well. And if I find out something more in terms of, like, did that actually exempt you, or did they just make sure that you didn't go into the infantry, you'd still get drafted, but you'd be peeling potatoes maybe or something like that, I just have to go back and do a bit of research. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. 888-914-9149. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back to the phone calls. The number again, 888-914-9149. You can call me right now. I'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. The number is 888-914-9149. Let's go back to Easton, Pennsylvania and talk to Kip. Hey, Kip, hopefully we've got the phone situation worked out.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me better now.
I can, much better.
Thank goodness. By the way, hard shell taco or soft shell taco?
I'm equal opportunity. I tend to gravitate more toward the soft shell, but I'm equal opportunity when it comes to tacos.
Very good. Well, thank you for clearing up that important question. Patrick, I'm engaging in an online conversation with a Christian minister who believes that abortion is biblically acceptable. And we've gone back and forth a little bit, and things like thou shalt not kill, don't carry any way with him because he doesn't feel like you're really killing a person yet. And I even used a verse from Luke 1 where Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and called Mary the mother of my Lord, which meant not the mother or you, the woman who's pregnant with somebody who one day will become the mother of my Lord. And he brushed those aside and he said that there was a verse in Hebrews 10:5 that says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says sacrifice, and I jotted this down because it's on my phone and I'm talking to you. But sacrifice you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that the body was already created and in Mary's womb before Jesus received it at birth. Now, okay. I don't know how to argue with this. It just seems incorrect to me.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think he's missing the point. The context of Hebrews chapter 10 is that the sacrifice of Christ, it fulfills what in the Old Testament were just these shadows, as it says in verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices which are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near. So the reason I emphasize this is that it seems to me he's missing the point of that phrase in verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast taken no pleasure. So this is referring to the fact that in his body, Jesus fulfilled by his bodily death on the cross, that sacrifice or those sacrifices that prefigured this, but were not able to accomplish anything. It's not a statement that he had a body waiting for him because he came into existence at the very moment of his conception. So it wasn't as though there was this body inside the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary waiting for Jesus to step into it. That's certainly not what it's saying here. The context is just simply juxtaposing his bodily sacrifice as fulfillment for or completion and perfection of what those Old Testament sacrifices could only point to. Now, that may not sway him one way or the other, but in a way, it doesn't matter. I would just say, no, you're wrong. You're misunderstanding it. And he'll say, no, I'm understanding it. And I would say, no, you're not. You're misunderstanding it. And this passage was never understood this way. You know, it was never understood by the church fathers this way. It was not understood by the rabbis this way. It was not understood by the church this way. If you yourself, not you, Kip, but you know, saying this to right. him. If you want to go down that road, okay, you know, knock yourself out, but you're still wrong. And I wouldn't budge off that. I'd just say, no, you're wrong. You're misunderstanding that. And he will say, no, you're misunderstanding it. And I would say, no, you're misunderstanding it. And just not budge off that. That's what I do.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. Thank you,
Let
Patrick.
Me give you another verse. You're welcome. Can I give you another verse that may be helpful to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I would recommend, number one, that you quote to him what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, there is no chapter 4. There are actually two verses I'd like to share. One is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and forward. It reads like this: Know this first of all, that there is no prophecy of Scripture that is a matter of personal interpretation. For no prophecy ever came through human will, but rather human beings moved by the Holy Spirit spoke under the influence of God. Now, the key to that passage, I think, is pointing out that the Scripture is not subject to personal interpretation. And what he's saying here is that just as the writing of Scripture wasn't merely the preference or the whim or the idea of a human being. So St. Paul didn't roll out of bed one day and say, you know, I feel like writing a book of inspired Scripture. It was the Holy Spirit that moved him to do this. So it's connecting both the movement to write inspired Scripture with the interpretation of Scripture. It's not merely somebody's opinion. But then I would connect that with in chapter 3, where it says in verse 15, and consider the patience of our Lord as salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, also wrote to you, speaking of these things as he does in all his letters. And here's the money part. In them, there are some things hard to understand that the ignorant and unstable distort to their own destruction, just as they do the other Scriptures. So I think the really strong leg that you can stand on in this conversation is to say, you're twisting this Scripture, you're misunderstanding it, and it could very well lead to your own destruction if you're advocating for the killing of unborn children. That's a serious sin. And the Bible specifically says that there are those who will misunderstand these difficult things to their own destruction. And that describes you, not you, but him.
Yes. And then the one who leads others into error, be better that they tie a millstone around themselves. And would that be a good way to cap all that off? I mean, you're misunderstanding it. And if you persist in it, then it would be better for you to drown yourself.
Yeah, I mean, those are very, very grim words that Jesus speaks about scandal. You know, woe to the man. He says, the scandal will come, but woe to the man by whom scandal comes. And it would be better, Jesus says, better than scandalizing one of these little ones, for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and be thrown into the ocean. Now, it's interesting that it's connected to little children. So you might ask him this question: which do you think is worse, to scandalize a little child or to kill a little child? Which do you think is worse? And
that's excellent.
I'm guessing he's going to say, well, here's what I bet he's going to say. He's going to say, but that's not a little child, because that's just a body, and therefore, you know, it doesn't count as a child. Your response to him from Luke chapter 1 is excellent, and it is exactly on point.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly on point.
Oh, good. Well, Patrick, I've learned so much from you listening over these years. I'm a faithful listener. I don't call all the time, but I gained so much from you. Keep up the great work, my friend.
Thank you, Kip. Great to know that. And my best wishes to you and your family. Thanks for calling. And gosh, thanks for listening so regularly. I appreciate that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Bruce in Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Patrick. My draft number was 20, and there were some other famous people of my age too who had draft numbers that made them eligible for the draft. George Bush, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump.
None of whom served. George Bush, he did serve in the Air National Guard, I believe, didn't he? Or the Texas?
Yeah. Yeah, but he avoided Vietnam. I mean,
that's right. He did. He did.
But anyway, Bob, the topic has been, you know, females being drafted. And my guess is that these same fathers who are complaining would probably vote for Democrats. And the reason I say that is, I don't know if you heard recently, the numbers were 50% of Catholics voted for Democrats in the last presidential election, and only 25% of Jews voted for Republicans. I don't get it. Do you? Why do people vote for parties who are totally against their beliefs or their feelings or their common sense? I just don't get it.
I guess that's a rhetorical question. I can't answer it. I can't answer for anyone else but myself. And all I can say is that I try to vote in a way that's in accordance with my convictions and my belief system as a Catholic. Sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it's impossible, because if you're dealing with a candidate, or an election rather, where neither candidate is acceptable, it puts you in a difficult spot. But why do other people vote for things that I think common sense tells them are wrong? I guess there are a lot of motivations. Party loyalty might be one. I believe this candidate will give me more money, or give me something else. And I just don't know. It makes no sense to me why people vote in ways that they do. So I guess you'd have to ask them. I realize you're asking the question rhetorically, Bruce, but I honestly don't know why people vote the way they do sometimes. It's a mystery to me.
Well, my main reason for calling is to tell you and Cyrus, God bless you. Y'all do a great work.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it, and I know Cyrus does too. Appreciate it. How about Sean in Madison, Wisconsin? Hello, Sean. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. The reason I'm calling is I did want to just spend a few seconds to kind of clarify a few things that one of your previous callers, Tom, who was the Marine who served in the 90s, and I want to first say thanks to your service, Tom. Mm-hmm. But the reality of the situation is wars today are not fought in a linear manner that you were likely trained for in the 90s. I'm an Army veteran. I deployed several times, to include spending a year in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, those support jobs that you mentioned are 80% of the workforce, so to speak, in your analogy, they unfortunately do get exposed to and engaged in combat. So I am 100% of the mindset that women should not be involved in the draft. But I do think that those that, you know, do unfortunately get drafted by not their own choice, they need to be ready to be in those jobs that are on the front line, even though it might not be in their job description. They're faced with it day in and day out, even if they are in a support role.
So the female dental hygienist in the Marine Corps, whose job it is to, you know, take care of people's teeth, are you saying, in other words, is my assumption accurate or inaccurate that there may be circumstances where whether she's trained, I'm not trained for it, whether that's her job or not, she may find herself in a fighting zone. I don't know how frequently that happens, but that's my assumption.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unfortunately, whether or not your job description is dental hygienist, cook, you know, what have you, the reality is the way that we deploy nowadays and the way that we operate remotely across a battle space, you have to travel from A to B, and guess what's waiting for you between A and B? Improvised explosive devices, ambushes, everything imaginable. And although you're going to a deployment for 6 months or a year, thinking you're going to be on a cush base like Bagram Airfield was at one point, you might not be there the whole time, and you do have to travel throughout the battle space. And the dangers are there, and you know, I just don't think that they need to be there, period.
That's how I feel. I feel the same way. So your experience in the Army, so were you, what do they call them, ground pounders? I've heard military people talk about, you know, when you're in the infantry and you're fighting with people. Is that what you were doing in Afghanistan?
Yep, I spent 5 years in infantry, and then the last 3 years of my active duty career, I was in the special operations community. So I've kind of seen a lot of different things and worked with a lot of different branches of our military as well as our interagency folks. And again, the reality of the situation is it's not a linear battle space that people think of, and that folks in the 90s and 70s and 80s, they trained for. They trained for a, you know, red on blue conflict, and we just don't we don't operate like that anymore.
Thank you, Sean. Quick question before we go. We have about 30 seconds. Is it possible that our special operators can get into Afghanistan? I'm sure some are still there right now. Get in and get the Americans who are now practically hostages with the Taliban. Is there any way to get them out using special operators, do you think?
I'm sure there is. However, we're going to start crossing that geopolitical line of now it's not a declared conflict zone, and anything we do there would be, you know, considered illegal by most. But regardless, we have folks there, and we're going to get them out. So whether or not it makes the news, you know, that's another story, another conversation to be had. But we're going to get people out, and there's going to be a lot of bad people taken off this earth in the process.
Interesting. Well, let's hope, if nothing else, that we can get all of them out safely, God willing. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate the phone call. We will extend this conversation on a variety of topics, not just this one, into the next 2 hours. You can be part of that conversation if you call me at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I will be right back.